Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Nida Nun Tes. We begin three lines from the top of the Amud Itma. We have learned as follows: Nimtza Aleha Kigrus V'Oi. As we learned yesterday, if a woman finds a stain, and the stain is small, to the extent that we can attribute it, we can blame it on a macholos, on a louse that was squished in that place. So even though it's an unknown, but it was granted to every woman as a standard, let's call it an exemption, standard exemption for all, that they can blame a small stain if it's up until the size of a gris, it's half a bean, that can be attributed to a louse. Now, if the stain is larger than that, but there's a catch. On that extra bit of stain, you actually found a louse attached to it. So the question is, can she take a double exemption? An itemized exemption for that extra, blamed on that louse, and then for the rest, you'll apply standard exemption. So can you apply standard and itemized in the same scenario? That's a machlekes. Itmar. Nimtza alei kegris void. You find the gris plus, which is beyond your limit of one machlekes. Void void. But on that little extra, rutsufa by machlekes. There's an extra machlekes there. So clearly, that's the source of that dam. But in sum total, you're above the limit. Rabbi Chanan Eimer Tmeya, she's tummy. You can't get a double exemption. It's one or the other, either standard or itemized. Either you get your standard machayos exemption, the unknown machayos exemption, or the known machayos exemption. You can't take it both ways. Rabbi Yani Eimer Tahira, why not? Rabbi Chanan Eimer Tmeya, look, Italia, but Kigris. Chachamim allowed you to be toila, to attribute, to blame, up until a gris. But more, that's too much. Because gris void loitali. Rabbi Yani Eimer, no. Of course she's toira. Hani milechad lo rutsuv ma'achilus. When does she have that maximum? When there is no ma'achilus intact, attached. So it's just a matter of, you know, theorizing. Okay, so everybody gets a standard exemption up until. Avalechad lo rutsuv ma'achilus, but here you have ma'achilus right here, on site. Muchamilus, it's pretty clear and evident. The haiva oida ma'achilus, so this extra is from this ma'achilus. So what's left? Standard gris. Okay, for that we have standard exemptions. Partially kegris. We have the leftover kegris, which typically is not an issue. Given the alma talia, since typically you can attribute it to a machilus, an unknown machilus, there's no difference. It's no worse in this case, a chanami talia. But Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah comes with an interesting question, which the Gemara will link up to the previous discussion. It's ask about kegris, v'nimtzaleh kegris void. In this case, she was involved. She was handling the dam of a tzipor, which is not dam nida, or as she says, other types of colored, you know, substances. And as we learned yesterday, she can blame her stain on those. But she knows how much she was handling. Only a gris amount. A penny amount. So this material can generate at the most, at the maximum, a stain the size of a gris. And she found more than that. A gris plus. V'nim salab gris void mal. What happens here? Now, this question can be posed according to both previous opinions. And because it isn't necessarily lined up. Tiboy le Rabbi Chanina, tiboy le Rabbi Yani. The question can be posed according to both opinions. Because there are differentiating elements between this and the previous case. Tibo, you can ask Rabbi Chanina. Ad kan, like Amar, Rabbi Chanina hasam tmeya. Perhaps it's only there. Chanina says she's tamei. Because you can't give her that double exemption. This machilas and then the theoretical machilas. You only get one machilas per stain. Elod Linus asked her because she wasn't actually involved in the dam. It's just a machilas that was found. Plus the unknown machayos, too much for one person. Avalochadness asked Katali, but here she had in her hands this material, which can certainly be the reason for this thing. So here, we can discount that amount. And regarding the leftover, that's the standard exemption of the machilas. You're not giving her two machilas, give her one machilas. The nisaska is right here. This material is what generated this stain. It's not a tzli, it's not an excuse, it's not an alibi, a cover story. So here, even he agrees that it's okay. Oidilma, or you can go the other way. Afilu Rabbi Yanai. Even Rabbi Yanai, who typically says Dama Tahira by the previous story, Hani Milechet Lutzuba Machilas. That's when you actually have Machilas on site, clearly producing that dam, that could be discounted from the equation. Or you left it with the penny worth, for which you get a standard exemption. Aval Hocha De Nutzuba Machilas. I tell you, hey, you don't have Machilas on site. Yeah, she was an Aska, she was handling materials, but who says? Who says that it generated disdain? So again, it's theorizing. Who said you get a double exemption? Toshma. I'm going to try to prove what to do in this case. We have a Bryson, it's Aska Ba'adon, in Toilo Ba'Shachar. If she was handling red material and she finds a black stain, you can't blame it on that. B'mu'ot, in Toilo Ba'Meruba. She was handling a small amount, you can't blame a large amount on that material. Hechidami. Now, what exactly happened? Lav Ki Agav. Let's assume. When the Bryson is speaking about a suggestion of blaming a large amount on a small amount, must be speaking like this, that she found more than a penny's worth and she was only handling a penny's worth. The Brisa says you can't give her the coverage for that. It's too much. Lie, no, who says? She was handling a penny's worth. Not yesterday, according to many paiskim, a gris is the size of a penny. But then we found more than double that amount. Not just a penny plus, two pennies plus. That's way overboard. In that case, she can't cover herself. If that's the case, then it's way, way overboard. Why do you discuss such a case? Well, it's not so simple. Listen to this. Perhaps I can suggest a way to get her out. How? True, it's a jumbo stain. It's more than twice your exemption. But since she knows that she was involved, she was handling some, you know, blood of a bird, right? Size of a penny. It's all about location. Perhaps we can position that exempted blood, that excused blood, right in the middle of the stain, which now separates the two sides, leaving us with less than a penny's worth on either side. Two stains, too small to make her tummy. Shikoka grus tzibur, take the grus of the tzibur, shadu bimiti, toss it right in between, right in the middle. Zilach like a shiura, which case it leaves you with two separate mini stains on either side. Zilach go to this side like a shiura, you have less than a shiura. Zilach go to the other side like a shiura, you have less than a shiura. Come on, we don't do that. Okay, so conclusion. She had a grus plus, but there was a machayla stuck on the corner. Chinina says you can't give her a double exemption for the itemized exemption and the standard exemption. Rabbi says no, the part under the machilas, that's discounted, and the rest is your standard exemption. We had a similar story about Nis Aska. She's involved in some materials and she ended up with a large stain. Once again, similar question: should we give her coverage for more than a gris? Blame it on the Nis Aska, blame it on the unknown machilas, or it's a bit too much for coverage? And we concluded that you certainly can't take a real super-sized stain and attribute the middle part to the Dam Toihar and split it up into two small sections. That's a bit of a stretch. Amar Rava. Nimtzu alei min echad. Toilo boi kama min. So the woman comes home. She finds this sap, this tree sap, this colored material, which is certainly not Dam, on her beged. Says Rava, look, apparently she wasn't really cognizant. She was lacking in awareness. Fact is, she got splattered with this material. So now she finds other stains as well, blood stains. She can just discount them as well, Rashi says, because we say, look, since you weren't paying attention, and you got this splatter without realizing, let's assume that the other ones as well, the blood spots as well, came upon her without her noticing, you know, it happened. And it's not attributed to herself, it's not Tamnida. Amar Rava, Nitzalim, and Echad. Tell you what we kind of mean. So even though they're red and this one is, black tree sap, it's all part of the same experience. Maybe it comes to Kasha. How could you do that? The Brisa says, "Ask about Adam and Toilet Boy Shachar." She knows she was involved with red material, and she finds a black stain, which could be dumb. She can't attribute it to the red material. She can't say, "Well, just like I was busy with." So what do you see? That one color can't be linked to the other. Nisaska shiny. It's very different in this case because she knows she was handling the red material and not black. So how'd she get a black stain? Oh, apparently it's dumb. Well, there's strong suspicion that it's dumb, but in the case of she's walking down the street and without realizing she gets this random black stain, so just like that sap, so the other blood stain that she got was also from elsewhere and not dumnita. Igadami, there's another version of Rabba's statement, which isn't going to be so lenient. She was involved with one color, paint. She can attribute all these stains that she finds on her beged to some sort of external source. Maisi, it comes to Kasha. The Brisa clearly discounts that notion. She was asked with red. You can't blame the black on the red. Why is Rabba allowing it? No, can come a Rabba or speak a very specific case. It's asked with a girlish. She was involved in processing a chicken. A chicken has many hues of many different colors. The ispa come many dam of different types of blood. You have the dam shchita, which is red. You have the dam of the inside, which is maybe green or more green, greenish. You have all kinds of colors there. That's what Rabba meant. He didn't mean to say that if you're involved with one color, it covers all colors of the rainbow. He meant to say that in some instances, you have coverage on many colors. For instance, the Tarnakas. Masa b'ishavachu. Okay, back in the Mishnah, we had a story. A woman shows up to Rabbi Akiva with a shayla on a stain. He says, hold it, before we proceed, perhaps you have some sort of scratch, a wound that could be reopened, that can reopen itself and stop bleeding. And she says, yeah, and he allowed her to blame it on that. The Talmidim was surprised, to which he responded by saying, look, this whole din of Kesem is only Lahachmer, it's the Rabbanon, and it has to follow certain guidelines. There's any even remote possibility, any logical possibility, that could cover for this dam in a way that absolves her, you follow that. So the wording which he chose to respond with was, La'amru chacham hadav al-hachmer al-lahakl. Chacham presented the Allah of Kesem not in a strict way, rather in a lenient way. Batani, you have a braisa, which goes exactly the opposite, which words it in the reverse. La'amru chacham hadav al-hachmer al-lahakl. It wasn't presented as a kula, only to be machmer. Seems to be a contradiction with the Mishnah. Amar Rava. It's a different point. Loy lahakal al divertura al lahachma divertura. The concept of kesem is in essence not a leniency. Actually, it's an astringency. Because as we learned in our Torah, only a personal flaw is metame, but a stain found on it's not metame. Al lahachmer hacham wa machmer, because it's close to the real thing, and we don't want people to misunderstand. But the actual ksamim is only the rabbanon, in which case they applied certain leniences, certain excuses, certain coverages for it. So a tliya can be matari kesem, something which you wouldn't use on actual dam nida d'oraisa. But since it's only the rabbanon, it was presented with limited guidelines and allows for these tliyos. Eichu nasan. Okay, the last halacha in the Mishnah is you find this cloth with a mark on it. Rav Lezer Tzedek says, look, depends on the configuration of the mark. If it's elongated, right, she uses it to wipe herself, then you know it's from herself. Dam nida, despite its smallness and size, even a drop of real dam nida is metamedisha. If you find it to be round, that's like some sort of stain, some sort of squished louse. If it's less than egregious, then it's like any other stain, and it's tar. And the question is this opinion agreed upon by all, or do we have disputants? Yibaylu, on this Eishu Nasan, right? This Halach. Mi pligi Rabbana le Rav Levi Tzadik? Oiloi. Anybody disagreeing with him or not? Toshmai comes at right. Kesem Oroich Mitztarav. If you have a long stain, so even though it's long and narrow, it's Tarav. The sum total is a shear of more than a grid, she's Tami. However, if it's a bunch of little spots, tipin, you don't connect the dots, right? Each one's a separate stain. Even starfin. Each one is dealt with separately, but smaller than the shear, she's okay. Now, who's speaking in this brisa, which seems to treat an elongated stain like a regular stain, which requires a shear, which according to the Rosh Hashanah is not so. He attributes a long stain to the woman without any excuses. In which case, even a small stain, shear is not a factor here. Because it's confirmed to have come from her. Mani, who's speaking? Ir Blazer B'tzadik, Lama Li Tziruf. By this long stain, why view the sum total? Why even reckon with amounts? Ha'amar, didn't he tell us, Mashach, if it's long, even Kol Shu Tami, even a small stain is Tami. El Rabbanan. It must be the Rabbanan speaking. And that confirms that they are in disagreement with the Elazar ben Tzaddik. According to them, whether it's round or long, it's still a regular kesem, which requires a shear to be tummy. Shema min a pligi. Apparently there's a machlekes. They're disagreeing with him. Loi, no, loilam, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. Maybe it's him speaking. V'chi amar Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik beit, aval b'kesem loi. You see, it's very different here, because here it's a kesem. It was just a stain on her garment. It wasn't a cloth that she used to wipe herself. There, he says, long is certainly from her, but here it's a stain on the baguette. So whether it's round, oval, long, it's all the same thing. It dripped down there. The question is, where did it come from? And if it has less than a shear, it's going to be tar, according to all shittus. Toshmai comes at Raya. Again, to this question of whether anybody takes issue, anybody disagrees with Rav Elazar Tzaddik. Domer v'domer Shmuel, halach Rav Elazar Tzaddik. Halach amchal d'pligi shvamina. When you say, I adopt Elizabeth Sadak Shita, that implies that there are opponents, which necessitated that verdict, that declaration. We passing like this Shita, apparently, pligi, there's a machlekes. Okay, so bottom line is, if she finds a kesem, whether it's round, oval, long, short, it has to conform to the minimum size of Sheikh Rizvoit, with all Shitas, but if it's on the aid that she used to wipe, Rabbanan says it's like any other kesem, whereas Reb Lezer, Reb Tzadik differentiates based on configuration. If it's round, standard kesem halacha supply. If it's mashuch, even a mashuch is tummy. That confirms that it was sourced from the isha. Hadron loch haroya kesem. Haroya kesem. Okay, we turn to Amid Beis, a brand new perek. Says the Mishnah, Ha'isha shi oisit rochea. Rosadam, a woman while tending to her waters, so while tending to her needs, she sees dam. Now Rashi explains to us many times here and previous parak that it's not derech for damnida to emerge with the meirag lime. It's a different system, different track, different channel. So we find dam with the meirag lime. It could either be damnida, which is unlikely, or it could be dam of a maka, some sort of wound, some sort of skin condition, some sort of scratch, right? So what happens? Rav Meir Omer, depends on her position. Typically an isha is sitting, but if she's standing, may medis, which indicates that there's a strong buildup of pressure, otherwise it wouldn't, right? So if she's tending to her waters, when she's in a standing position, so that intense pressure could very well have caused a backup, and could have squeezed out the damnita. So even though, naturally speaking, typically speaking, a routine discharge of water does not bring along meirag lime of the mucker of the womb, but if it was a medes, so that discharge must have been experienced with great pressure, otherwise there would be no discharge in that position, which could have triggered damnita. Even medes, she's tmeah. But in sitting positions to her, Rabbi Yossi Aymer, either way she is tar, it's unlikely that it's damnida, which typically does not accompany meirag lime, different system, different track. Standing and sitting, tar. Now comes another variation of this halach. So up until now we have meirag lime of an isha, the company is just done. Ish ve'ish she'os shochen secha sefer. In this case, you have one sefer, one container, one wastewater container, used by an ish and by an isha. And after a while, you find some dam there. Who did it come from? And if it came from the isha, what kind of dam is it? So you have a double doubt, a double suffix. Is it from the ish? In which case, it's tar. And even from the isha, maybe it's tar as well. But it's a dam alas almai. In this case as well, he says tar. And the obvious question is, of course, if he's matar in the previous case, but it's just one element of uncertainty, certainly in this case, you have a double aspect. The more we ask this question, of course. Rabbi Shimon takes it to the other extreme. He says, Matami, even in this case, where it's a double doubt, I say, Tami, because who produces dam? For the most part, women. Dam neither. That's it. Attributed to the isha, no questions asked. It's not regular for a man to produce dam. It's presumed to be from the isha. Okay, so we have three shittas. From one side of the spectrum to the other, we have dam alongside meraglayim. Question: is it dam nida or not? Rabbi Yossi says tahar all the way. Rabbi Shimon says tummy all the way. Rabbi Meir says, well, it depends on position. Emed is tmeya, yeshiva is tahar. Ask the more the obvious, what's the difference standing or sitting? Mashna Imedis. Why is it that by standing, she's tummy? Because we have to entertain the chance that when we say, Meiraglaim Hadalamakar. Seemingly, the Meiraglaim backed up to the Makar, Vaisidam, and squeezed out the Dam. Oh, Yeshevas Nami Nema, Meiraglaim Hadalamakar Vaisidam. Well, in sitting position as well. The Meiraglaim could have done the same thing. Oh, Marshmob Zanekas. We're speaking that she's Mizanek, she's spurting with a strong flow. In that case, it's clear that the Meraglaim are running through their own track, their own channel, not backing up, not moving around, and that will not be accompanied by them neither. Well, Mizanek, but, by, Rashi points out, Oymedes Yef Shalul Zanek, this Zinuk experience only happens when she's sitting. So Yeshevas means, i.e., Mizanek, a strong flow, must be separate, independent from Damnit. Right? So this pronounced expression of Meraglaim is not presumed to be with Damnit. But a Medes, says Rashi, will not have Mizanekas, because in standing position, it's not a natural format, in which case, it's indicative of a strong pressure buildup, which forces the Meraglaim out. Which the more someone will call shesesis, like a trickle, more than a strong force, like a trickle. In that case, it can very well be accompanied with by dam, because of the pressure, because of the, right? As the gemara zanekas namis, even when she's in sitting position, and it's a strong spurt, dilma basa de tamamaya, asa dam, maybe once the flow has subsided, tamamaya, the waters had depleted, then we have a weaker trickle, which could be accompanied with by dam. Amrab Abba, b'yeshevas hasvas ha-sefa. Umzanekas. B'teich ha-sefa. What happened was she was sitting at the edge of the container. So, her location was on the edge. Where, if the dam would have arrived with the trickle at the end, at the very end, the droplets, then it would have been found at the edge. Umzanekas ha-sefa, and she's spurting to the middle. Vim Saddam, where'd you find the dam? B'teich ha-sefa, in the middle of the sefa. Which certainly came with the zenith, with a strong flow. So since you've confirmed that this dam is associated with the strong flow, okay, so that takes us back to our earlier notion, which is dam nida will not accompany a strong flow. This means the basar tamamaya also, because if in fact the dam arrived once the zenith had depleted, and it came with the remaining droplets at the end, where would it be found? Not in the middle of the container, rather the edge, which is her position. And you don't find it there. So she's tar. Amar Shmuel. Some say Amar Bidam Shmuel. Alocha is Krab Yaisi. In all situations, standing, sitting, she's tar, because it's unlikely to be associated with Dam Nida. Earlier, Rabbi Abba likewise ruled to a man named Le Kala, who had this kind of question. He says, Halacha Rabbi Yosi, she's Torah. Ish v'Isha. Next door, we have a man and a woman, so we have another element of uncertainty. Who's in it? Rabbi Yosi says, Torah. Rabbi Shimon says, Tami. Now, what is Rabbi Meir's position on the case of Ish v'Isha? So we know, right, we have two parts of the Mishnah. Part one, which is just the Isha herself. Rabbi Meir says, standing, that's trouble. Sitting is okay. Let's skip over to part B. We have another element of uncertainty. We have Ish v'Isha involved. What would Rabbi Meir's opinion be in this case? Let's say the woman was standing. On the one hand, she's at a disadvantage. It's a strike against her, because standing is trouble. But you have the mitigating element. You have the man there who could be the source of doubt. Regardless, the question was posed, is v'isha oimed in mali on Rabbi Meir? What would Rabbi Meir's opinion be if you have a man and a woman and it's in standing position? So standing is a strike. But the fact that there's another possible source of dam is an advantage. Perhaps when Rav Meir applies tuma by the Amedis, that is when there's only one element of doubt. It's just the isha there, and the question is it from this dam or from that dam? Aval b'sfek sfek aloy matami, or when, but when there's another element of doubt, there's a man around as well who could be the source of dam. So in that case, even if she's standing, we're not matami. After all, there's a double element of doubt. Or you don't want to know, perhaps there's no difference. And the fact is that since we have the Isha there and she's standing, likely that it came from her, and we discount the other element of doubt, i.e. the presence of the man, on which we have a machlekes amaroyim, Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechonon. Rish Lakish hi. Same exact in both cases. So we disregard the man's presence. He's not like a likely source of dam. We only focus on the isha, and since she's a medis, we attribute it to dam nid. How do I know? Mimai. Midloik tani or meir v'yisi mitaren. The fact is, in part B of the Mishnah, we have no reference to Rabbi Meir's opinion, who should have gone alongside Rabbi Yosi and mitaren. Apparently, he's not mitaren. Yoch, if that's the case, that according to Rabbi Meir, in this case of double doubt, she is Tameh. So why does the Mishnah even have to discuss that first case? The Meir says if it's a single doubt, she's Tameh. Well, obviously, even by a double doubt, she's Tameh. Of course, by a single doubt. Yochi Hashta, Meir, Bisfek Sveke Matameh. Meir, even by a double suffix, in the case of the Seifa, applies Tumah B'chat Sveke Mboy. It's only the first case, so it's only one element of doubt. So why discuss that first case at all? It was the highest Rabbi Yosi's opinion. Who is mitar, even by just a single element of doubt, the afilu b'chatzfeke mitar, asks the Gemara. Okay, so you have a choice in terms of which scenario to present. If you present the first, as the Mishnah does, it highlights Rabbi Yosi's lenient approach. Even if it's limited to just one suffix, he's mitar. But then you could also highlight the second part of the Mishnah and say, well, even when it's a double element of doubt, Rabbi Meir says Tamei. So why are you focusing on the first versus the second? V'ademifli b'chad sofek, instead of presenting the case of the first sofek as a machlekes, l'idiyecha k'yecha de Rabbi Yosi, to highlight Rabbi Yosi's leniency, instead, l'ifli k'busfek sfeika. Why don't we present our machlekes in the second case? L'idiyecha k'yecha de Rabbi Meir, to bring out Rabbi Meir's point of view. That even when you have a double element of doubt, he's still metam. The answer is, as we say many times, koyach de tera odifle. The Tana preferred presenting the power of heter. Rashi Mesechas Be'edav basically says it's rather easy to just be machmer in a case of uncertainty. Anybody can do that. Not sure, machmer. But to actually be mater, that takes expertise, takes true knowledge, it takes confidence and clarity in halacha. And that's what the Mishnah sought to point out. That even when it's a case of one, just one uncertainty, still Rabbi Yosi says, look, how likely is it that the Dam came along with the Meir Aglaim? It's not a natural course of events. She's Torah. Okay, so back to the question. We know that in the case of one Isha Imedes, Rabbi Meir says, Tami, what if there's an Isha Imedes with a man? Rish Lakish says, same story. Rabbi Yechon, no, Mar, no. You have an added element of doubt. Even Ramira will consider that into the equation and may consider her Torah. Rabbi Yochanan Mekikam Rav Meir b'chat Sveika. True, Rav Meir applies to him in the first case when there's just one element of Safek. Aval b'Sveik Sveika Le Amar. Not so in the second case where there's double Safek. Even he agrees it's Tar. In the case that now begs the question, listen, why did the Mishnah pair him up with Rabbi Yossi as being Matar? Listen, Rav Meir, Rabbi Yossi Matar, Ein Hanami. You're right, the Mishnah could have done so. It's just, you know, a semantics choice of words. V'aydid etzalik m'Rabbi Yossi, pasuk Rabbi Yossi, since we just left off with Rabbi Yossi, right? Rabbi Yossi, I mean, benkech toira, whether standing or sitting, so we sort of continue on with the same name, but really, Rabbi Meir would agree to him as well in the case of Sveik, pasuk Rabbi Yossi. Ask the Gemara the obvious question now. V'Rabbi Yossi, b'chat Sveik m'tar, why even bring out Rabbi Yossi's opinion in the case of the double suffix? If he allows even by just one suffix, certainly by two, it sounds redundant. It sounds superfluous to bring out the heter by Sveik Sveika, which is so obvious. Rabbi Yossi b'chat Sveika matar Sveik Sveika meboyim al tema. There, you're right, you're right. I'm just trying to point out something on top of the basic halacha. Al tema hani milu di'evet. If only the first quote of Rabbi Yossi, I would say, yeah, she's tar, even though she's standing, but the avid, meaning after the fact, she touched something, well, we don't consider it tamei. Al chatchil loy, but maybe al chatchil you shouldn't initiate. Because, look, after all, there's some element of uncertainty. Kamash, one answer is no. That's why the Mishnah highlights and repeats her basis opinion in all situations, in all circumstances. She's A-OK, she can touch whatever she wants. Okay, so again, we know that a mayor, if it's one isha, he says, I made this tmeya, yishev is tar. What if it's an ishvi isha, an element of suffix on top of the first element? Rish Lakish says, it doesn't really change the equation. Rabbi Yechon says, in this case, even Rabbi Yechon agrees she's tar. Tanik was Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechonon. Ishvi isha, she'osar, tzachen, tzach, ha'seifel. So you have the ishvi isha here. Vilim sedam alamayim, you discover dam. Rabbi Mehye, v'Rabbi Yechon, metar. Clearly, Rabbi Meir pairs up with Rabbi Yechon in this case and makes her tar. Reb Shimon, as a third sheet, we're going to discuss that in a minute, he's matami even in this case. Why? As he said in the Mishnah, chances are cheska dam, most dam comes from the isha. She's the one that produces dam. So even though there are all kinds of elements of doubt here, we link it to her. The question is, to what extent does Reb Shimon attach the dam to the isha? Iboil, isha is shevis. Mal yom Reb Shimon. I understand that Reb Shimon applies to him even when there's a man in the equation, because in terms of considering the man versus the woman as a source of dam, man is not a player. But let's go back to the first part of the Mishnah. It's just one person, Anisha, and she's sitting. Would Reb Shimon agree in this case to Reb Meir that she's okay? Because in the natural course of events, it's very unlikely for dam to come in that position. Iboilu, isha yeshevis, mali on Reb Shimon. What would Reb Shimon's opinion be in that case? Kiyom Reb Shimon, beimedes. Perhaps Reb Shimon is strict. It's only when she's standing. And since the likelihood of dam nida is very high, he discounts the fact that there's a man there and attributes it to the isha. Dachik la'alma, because it's squeezed, it's tight, it's pressure, as we explained. Aval yeshevis, but in sitting position, loy, well, you don't have that element of pressure. Let's assume there's any dam alongside the bread of lime, it's from a makam. Or the Walish, no, perhaps no. Reb Shimon is machmer. All cases. It's so likely that it's from her, so likely that it's dam nida. She's telling me in all situations. Tashma, you're right. The sign of a raisa, yeshevas, toilet, medicine, toilet, remeir. Remeir says, sitting is okay, standing is not. Rabbi Yosi Omer, either way it's okay. Benkech, benkech, toilet. Either way, she is Taylor, which means to say she attributes it to a Mako, unlikely to Dam, that is Dam Nida. Rabbi Shimon Omer, in all situations, we assume it's Dam Nida. She can't attribute it to a Mako. Iboil, and that comes one last point. But how far does Rabbi Shimon really go? You have an Ishvi Isha Yoshvi. Here you have a double mitigating factor. First of all, she's sitting. To begin with, that's a mitigating factor. Number two, you have a man alongside in the equation, right? He used the safer than she used it, right? So there are two elements of suffix. What would be Reb Shimon's opinion in this case. Ish v'isha yosh v'mali Rav Shimon. Ki oba Rav Shimon. Maybe Rav Shimon is only going to apply tumah. For instance, if it's a medis, even though there's an ish in the equation, so that's one element of, one mitigating element, but she's in standing position, which makes it more likely for the dam to come from the makar. So since it's only merely one element of doubt, the ish part of the, you know, so tummy. Or alternatively, via sheves. If she's herself, so there's no ish in the equation, to discount that factor, it's just the isha. And despite the fact that she is sheves, which is a mitigating factor, as we explained before, he makes her tummy because in both these cases, you don't have a double element of doubt. You don't have what Rashi calls tarti lakula, two mitigating facts. You only have one in each. Right? In the first case, a medes means that there's an ish in the equation, so that's a mitigating factor, but she's standing, so that's a factor to a detriment. And the next case, you have yeshevis. She's alone in the equation, but she's yeshevis, which makes it more likely that it came from her. The chat sofik word only entails one sofik. Abo besfek, sfek aloy omar, but perhaps we have a double kula, two mitigating factors. A, she's sitting, which makes it less likely. B, there's an ish in the equation. Loy omar, perhaps in this case, he will not apply tumor. A dimolash not. Or perhaps it doesn't make a difference. Rav Shimon so strongly attributes the dam to the isha, to the dam nida. In all situations, so be tummy. Tashmai comes a raya. Yep. Kivan, dam Rav Shimon. Let's take a look at Rav Shimon's presentation in the Mishnah. He gives a reason for his shita. He says, Cheskas domim. It's presumed that all dam comes from the isha. It's so unlikely that the man produced it. It's so unlikely that the dam is not dam nida. And that covers all circumstances. Kivan, Rav Shimon himself concludes with the words, Cheskas domim isha. What does that tell us about his opinion? Doesn't matter whether it's standing, sitting, herself, or there's an ish in the picture, tummy all around. So in conclusion, Isha discovers dam in the Merv Lion. With three shitas. On the one side we have Rabbi Yosi, Tahir all the way. How does dam get with the Merv Lion? It's a different system, she's Tahir. We assume it's a Makar. Rabbi Shimon goes the other way, he says, in all cases she's tummy, dam, it comes from the Isha, and I'm Makar. Oh, according to our mayor, it depends. So if it's just the Isha herself, a medes is tame, yeshevis is tahira. When there's another mitigating factor, it's an ish v'isha in the equation, well, Rosh Lakish says it doesn't really matter. Because the medes, it's so likely that it came from her, we attribute it to her. B'yechon says, no, in this case, you have to reckon with the fact that it's an ish as part of the equation. And in this case, even our mayor agrees, it's ex-feka, and she is tar. And the Gemara quoted some stories where they paskened, look, Rabbi Yosi, in all cases, she is to her. Okay, all the best to you, and atzlacha rab.